Are y'all ready for the word?
Yes.
Y'all are exciting. I can't stand a quiet church. I went to Wisconsin one time. Have y'all ever been up north to Wisconsin? I preached in a church where no one cracked a smile or said a word. You talk a stoic, stone-faced. Is that culture? Does the milk do that up there? Is it the cold air? What is it about Wisconsin and Michigan people up there? But so anyway, I preached this message, and at the end of it, I was standing at the door, and on the way out, people would say, "Good message." I thought, "My God, I thought you were dead." You know, I couldn't wait to get home to Florida, where people are a little warmer. Amen. So you warm up, because if you don't, I'll keep you longer. Get your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. My sermon today is called "They Walk with God." I've had an enjoyable time preaching on Easter, who you are in Christ, what God did for us. There's more to this, and I'll tell you the reason that I'm preaching this today is it seems to me that the body of Christ as a whole has the mindset that we're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the mindset that most Christians have. And the mindset is wrong. Jesus is not on the cross. He's not walking the shores of Galilee either. And he's not only not on the cross, but he rose from the dead. Not only did he rise from the dead, he went on to Pentecost, and then he went to heaven and sat down. Now, if you don't know that, if you don't understand that, every year at Easter, we talk about the resurrection, the resurrection, resurrection. And in my heart, I know that you're leaving church and you're excited about what Jesus did, but you don't even really know why. He didn't do it for himself. He had no reason to go to the cross for himself. He went for you. Easter's about you. You died. You rose from the dead. But that, if that's all you know, you will live and die and be ignorant. Because unless you know why he did it. So my question is, why did God even make man? Now you might think that's a simple question. Oh, no, it's not. For the God of the universe to create the whole universe, and folks, it's big. I did a study one day on how far the planets are apart and how big there are. If our sun is the size of a golf ball, there are suns out there the size of Orlando. That is an enormous amount of gas. For what reason? For Earth. Everything out there ministers to Earth, to our solar system. So what's the solar system for? Well, I have a nice watch on, and everybody likes a good Swiss watch or a good Rolex or Breitling. It's referred to as a precision timepiece, but the solar system is so, let me use this word, stinking precise, that if the sun was a hair bigger or a hair smaller, or if it was a hair closer or a hair further away, you'd either burn up or freeze to death. I mean, the whole solar system is dead nuts precise and perfect. Do you know the reason for Jupiter? Do you know why it's there? The gravitational pull of it is keeping all the meteorites from hitting the earth. The God we serve, he's screaming intelligent.
Yes, amen.
But he made it all for earth. So what's earth for? Well, why all the water? Without it, the water is keeping you cool. It is the only thing keeping the sun from burning you to a crisp. So all the Pacific and Atlantic, all that water is free, is to keep the temperature. You complain about it being 32. Honey, it could get worse. But God won't let it. It could get hotter. And let me tell you something about the global warming. Please, please don't buy that. BS. I'm sorry. I know. I just offended some of y'all. It's caused by sun flare-ups. Got a stinking thing to do with your motor and your car. They do it. They're lying to control you. Never mind. Good God, save the planet. God, you can't hardly save yourself, much less a planet. Never mind. That's enough of that. I want to do a sermon on that so bad, so on Sunday, I can't stand it. Anyway, all of that was for earth. Well, why earth? What did he make earth for? You. You. You are the reason for all that. Somebody put a lot of thought into you, Kenny. Now listen to this scripture. I don't have it in my head. I don't know where it is. God's thoughts towards you are as numerous as the sand on the beach. You've never had that many thoughts about anything. If you took a cup of sand, you've never had that many thoughts, good and bad. But for God to think about you to the point of all of the sand on the beach, somebody's thinking good about you a whole lot.
Amen.
And it would be God. And if he did all of that, and he did do all of that, for you, that makes man. Well, boy, you sure ain't no monkey.
Yeah. That's right.
Monkeys don't murder. That's right. Never mind, I went negative on you just now. They also don't commit adultery. Don't compare yourself with a monkey. The monkey is offended. Don't offend them. Okay, never mind. Genesis 1:26. Are y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Come on, let's have church today. 1:26. And God said, let's make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and every creeping thing on the earth. And God created man in his own image. Image of God created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, not just the man, but them, women. It's okay. It's okay. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have what?
Dominion.
Say dominion.
Dominion.
God made man to be the under ruler of the earth. That is a very, very tall order. He did not make a dog or a cat. He did not give any animal the ability to rule and reign. So when you hear them say, the squirrel was here first, say, I went to Lowe's the other day, and there's squirrels everywhere in Lowe's. and they won't catch them because they were here first. You have got to be some kind of a moron. And they're eating all the bird seed. Never mind. Make you want to go to Home Depot, don't it? Just, you guys can't be so dumb to let the squirrels run wild here in the store. Catch them if you don't want to kill them. If you want, I'll give you a good squirrel recipe. Back in my day, that was what we used instead of chicken, but it's all right. Never mind. Some of y'all, I lost you already. For the ones that are still with me. So why did God make man? What was the purpose? He wanted a family. Now, I'm gonna jump ahead of myself. Where am I going with this sermon? You were created to walk with God. Anything short of that, we have this come to Jesus, go to heaven. Oh, folks, that's like Lisa, marry me and I'll buy you a refrigerator. We would hope there to be a little more to it than that. You marry me, I'll give you me. That's a big deal, especially if you're rich and handsome. Well, I had one part. I'll let you figure out what that was. I said was. All right. Okay. Luke 19:10. Pop it on the screen. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He didn't say who. He said that. What was lost? Well, we can say dominion for sure. But what was lost? Our walk with Father.
Correct. Amen.
What was lost was our walk with God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven but by me. Wrong. Jesus did not die to give you a mansion. Get over that country western song now. If all he died for was so you could have a mansion, that is pathetic. He went to the cross to bring, he said, no, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody gets to the Father but by me. The story of the prodigal was about the Father, the son coming home to the Father. The whole point of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day was he came down and spent time with Adam. Jesus says, I came to seek and save that which Adam lost, is your ability to walk again with the God of the universe. That was what Easter was all about. Jesus, when he called God Father, they killed him because he called God his dad. And they don't like it when you call him daddy either. But he is your daddy. And I really wish you'd quit asking all the other people in the family to ask him a question. Go home and talk to your own dad. Okay. It is good. Genesis 3:8. Please look over there. Just please look over there. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I wish they had not translated it that way, because it literally says in the Hebrew, in the wind. Let me explain to you something. God did not sit up in heaven during the hot part of the day and leave Adam down there going, God, it's hot down here. And then God would go, has it cooled off down there some? Let's go spend some time with Adam. That is not what happened. It literally says in the Hebrew, he walked with him in the wind, in the breeze. How often, how much time did God spend with man? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He walked with man in the breeze or in the wind. In other words, if the wind was moving, God was there, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Your walk with God should not be 1 hour Sunday. You ought to wake up in the morning. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Glory to God. What a wonderful day. Let's go do life. Praise the name of Jesus. You ought to go to bed at night. Someone said, how often do you pray? All day long. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, help that guy up there find out where his gas pedal is and get him out of the left lane in the name of Jesus. You ought to be talking to God all the time, and he'll do it too. Never mind. I don't know how I go negative on y'all all of a sudden. I just, Tanya, I want you to start giving tickets to people doing 40 in a 50 in the left lane. Pull them over. Never mind. I wished I was a phone cop. If I got 10% of the proceeds, I would be a millionaire. Of people, you're sitting at a traffic light on your phone. Put the phone down and drive the car. And go back up to New Jersey. Never mind. I didn't mean to say that either. I shouldn't have said. Okay, never mind. I'm in trouble. Let's just stop right now and come back next Sunday. It's true anyway. Now listen to this statement. Most Christians, honest to God, believe we're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you're sitting in a field waiting for Kumbaya, Lord. Kumbaya. Come by me, Jesus. Come by me. Why do you think you bow your head when you pray? Because he's in you. Thank you, Kenny. There's two intelligent people in this room. Heavenly Father, I'd like to have a talk with you. Never mind. Okay. We got to talk Matthew 14. I'm trying to raise my own sermon from the dead right now. I'm just in the name of Jesus, these people are alive unto God. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself, and when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went, he saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion and healed their sick. Now listen to me. They're all sinners. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm not a heretic. Are Old Testament books. Well, my Bible says New Testament. He didn't die on the cross and start the new covenant until John 20. They're all sinners. You're not a sinner. And when evening, the disciples came and said, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away, that they'll go to the village and buy themselves some food. Now look at what he said right here. Just pay attention. They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Really? Really? All we have is two loaves and a few fish we confiscated from a kid. Now let's talk about stupid requests. This is one. Well, if you think God don't do some really weird stuff, in your mind, you can't get a dumber request than that. Why don't you feed them, Kathy? What? Me? Yeah, Megan, why don't you feed them today? Why in the Sam Hill would Jesus make such a stupid request? Everybody knows he's God. They aren't. Or is he trying to teach them how to become sons of God? Shandai. Now, after today in this service, you'll never be the same. You will never walk in a dead church and be happy again. Because I'm going to blow it up. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you were an old sinner. You're saved by grace. Now you're a son of God. So was he joking? No, he's not joking. He is dead serious. Boys, feed them. Now, what I'm going to read next, you think he took the job back. He did not. Okay, y'all are actually paying attention. I don't know how Rush Limbaugh did that. You give them something to eat, and they said, "We only have five loaves and two fish." Sorry, I said two loaves. I missed. Five loaves and two fish they confiscated from two kids. And he said, "You bring them to me." He's not taking the job back. He's still intending for them to do this. Now let's go back for a minute and study. The Bible talks about there being two Adams. Adam and Jesus was second Adam. Adam was a son of God. And Jesus is a son of God. If you want to know how Adam lived, watch Jesus. Because he walked the earth as a son. What does that mean? Well, he did all kind of strange things like throw the net on the other side and pull all the fish in. That's a son of God who's able to command the fish to get in the boat. It's a son of God who's able to walk on water, cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick, feed multitudes. But he's doing something here that I want to point out, and I'm gonna get ahead of myself. For 3 years, he taught them how to act like a son of God and take the place that Adam once had. What's he doing now? Same thing. Well, y'all went quiet. This is good. I'm still on my Easter sermon. I hadn't gotten off it yet. We could go on forever on it. We really could. Now let's finish. And he commanded the multitude to sit on the grass, and he took five loaves and two fish. He looked up to heaven. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave the loaves to the disciples. He took the loaves and he broke it, a type of his body. Broke it in 12 pieces, and he handed one hunk of bread and one hunk of tilapia to every disciple. And then he sat down. Who fed him? They did. Why? He's training them so he can leave. What's the point? You might need food one day. I'm going somewhere very, very important, but I got to get you to go with me as I give you my Mac Daddy point at the end. But, and he commanded and said, and the disciples gave it to the multitudes. The miracle happened when they went here. And then he said, now you give some to her. And everybody broke it. And everybody had the same amount in their hand. No one saw the miracle. Nobody's, there was no pick a bag up and the bread. Boy, let's get ahead of myself. Every one of you have something in your hand. It's called eternal life. Give it away. Give it away. Break it and give it away. Never mind. I'm way ahead of myself. Okay. All right, here's another crazy, crazy story. I'm not going to go into detail because I'm running out of time. I only have half an hour left. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and went on the other side. And verse 28, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if you command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus went, come on. Now here we have Jesus doing something again. Weird. The first time they had problems because they thought they were all going to die because of the wind. Because they thought they were going to get thrown out of the boat. This time Jesus is walking around and they don't have a boat at all. And so he's walking by and they all went, ah, that's not normal. And Peter goes, if that's you, I want to do that. And he went, come on. What's the point, Peter? Now I'm going to give you the punchline. There's going to come a day when you're going to need to get out of the boat. And you're going to need to do what I say. And I want you to take me at my word. Everything they're learning here is for one point. Listen to Father. Now I'm going to jump ahead of myself. Jesus did nothing that he didn't hear the Father say, do it. I'm going to get way ahead of myself. That's the reason why the church isn't doing much. Because you're trying to live a Christian life without walking with God. Jesus didn't do this stuff without listening to his Father. If the Father tells you to go across the lake without a boat, take off. And you're like, that ain't normal. Right. How do you think Adam crossed rivers? Don't shout me down. How do you think he traveled through 1,500 miles of garden? Fast. We're going to have to get on. How is it that he named every animal and knew their name? This caveman, stupid caveman mess, a very highly intelligent group of people made pyramids. They were not dummies. Adam, because he fell, didn't mean he was stupid. If you can name every animal by name, that would be like honor roll. And you're a son of God? Kenneth E. Hagin could literally quote chapters. I listened to him one day preach a message, and he quoted Kenyon word for word. Read a book and got up and quoted it to a crowd word for word. That's a smart person. Say, I have the mind of Christ. I want you to quit calling yourself a dummy. You're no dummy. So what's the point? Then after he sank, Jesus chewed him out. At least I got out of the boat. And the rest of them didn't. And he said, what happened to you? Why would he do that? Because he's training him to be a son of God. God is training you right now. Not when you die. You got a lot of work. Y'all got a lot of work. God is going to keep putting you in places that is not possible in the natural. So you will know who you are. And some of you have had times when you went, y'all ain't going to believe what just happened to me. Yeah, we would. Okay. Thank you, Kenny. I'm coming. Hebrews chapter 1. I still hadn't got to my punchline, so y'all can't leave. Why do I hail Phil, Heavenly Father, that I'm standing in a church in Minnesota? I'm not. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. God, who at various times and various places spoke in time past to the fathers, has in these last days spoken by a son whom he has appointed heir of all things, to whom he's made the worlds, and being the brightness of the glory of the express image of the person upholding all things by the word of his power, has by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than angels, he has inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, and to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I've begotten you, and I'll be to him a father, and you'll be to me a son, and again he brings the firstborn into the world. Now, where's the scripture I'm looking for? I'm looking for it. 2:10, I think. It was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many, many, many sons to glory. When? Now. 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 Why am I saying this? Why am I even preaching this message? Because if you stay in the mindset that you're waiting on God, you will never make it where he wants to take you. Well, come by here, Lord Jesus. Come by here, Jesus. Help me. See, you've got a God that's up in heaven, and you're trying your best to get a hold of him, and he doesn't give a rip about you. There's something wrong with your thinking. So I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to use Che, my daughter, and it's a good one, Che. But I want to talk to you about where I found this out. When I was in Athens, Georgia, before I went to Rhema, Che decided to get poison ivy. That's not hard to do, not in Georgia. You head in the woods, you come out with poison ivy. Well, she had it between her toes and her nose and her ears, and she just her body just gets covered in that mess, and you just scratch. And well, I had just been saved, and I am going to pray for Che, and God is going to heal Che. So I prayed all day. I go to my couch, I open my Bible, Heavenly Father, I pray in for Che, for you to heal the poison ivy that's on her body in the name of Jesus. And you know what happened? Nothing. It was one of those, well, if the Lord wants it to happen. But I knew better than that one. So I prayed all day. And then I prayed half the night. At 2 a.m, Che is no closer to being healed than when I started praying at sunup. And I am aggravated at God. I'm mad at God. If you're a baby Christian, you get away with stuff. When little children, they get away with all kind of junk with their parents. Don't do it as an adult. Yeah. They'll slap you down. But I got mad at God, and I let him have a piece of my mind. Do you know what he said? Nothing. God doesn't have to bend to your fit throwing either.
Yeah, amen.
So then I tried a new approach. I thought, that didn't work. Let's try humility. So I went to God and I said, I need to apologize. I have prayed all day. And I've prayed half the night. And you promised to heal Che and haven't done it. And I don't know why. Now he spoke to me. He's my father. He's your father. You need to hear from God. Not just read a book. You need a relationship with God. He said, I never promised to heal your daughter. I said, excuse me? I know better than that. I read about Brother Hagin being healed. I got healed with a crusade. And that's not true. That's not true, God. He said, no, I never promised to heal your daughter. He said, as a matter of fact, I finished all of my work and I sat down. And I'm sitting there listening to God and going, you're looping. And then he said something else to me. If you want something done about it, do it yourself. Now you want to upend my theology. That did it. I mean, I know I'm not God. But what I don't know is I am a son.
Yeah.
Now see, if you're religiously taught, I've already lost you.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, whatever you allow,
right.
Whatever you forbid,
Yeah. If
you say,
yeah. Yeah, come on.
And the church today, They live in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They have no idea what the word dominion means. God said, Daryl, name the animals. God didn't name animals. Adam named animals. It's not God's earth. It's yours. And Satan took it. Jesus came and gave it back to whom? The church. He gave the earth and everything in it back to you.
Amen.
And then he gave you his anointing, he gave you his name, and he gave you his word. And then he said, you go out now and subdue it, and you make it mine. Whoa, that's good preaching, and I know y'all are looking at me like a dog in a new bowl. You say, I tried that. We're going to discuss that in a minute. We'll get you over that one real quick. That's my next point in 5 minutes. So two in the morning. Now, the problem with me, you can't take this story from me. I saw it. You can't tell me my theology's wrong because it worked. And I walked upstairs and I opened up Che's bedroom door. Poison ivy, die in Jesus' name. closed the door, and I went to bed. Well, the next morning, I've been up. Che wakes up, heads to the bathroom, and I don't know why girls scream when something good happens. I woke up thinking someone was killing her. And she's in the bathroom looking in the mirror, and she's screaming because her face looks like a baby's booty. Every drop of poison ivy had completely died and dried up on her body. And I walked away and went, good God Almighty. Now, are y'all out there? That was pre-Rhema. That's not something Dad Hagen taught me. That was something my daddy taught me that. My daddy. Everything I know. My daddy taught me everything I know. Listen to me. My biggest plus in life, I walk with God. I'm not Baptist. I'm not Pentecostal. I'm not mad. I'm a son of Almighty God. I don't care anything about y'all's dumb denominational handle. You either walk with God or you don't walk with God, and I don't care what handle you have on you. But we were designed to. Birds need air. Fish need water. You need God. You need God. Take a fish out of water. Tell me how well he's doing. Take a you out of God. Not so well, y'all. Okay. I got to get to my point. Y'all are waiting on it. Acts 9. All right. I am going to get to my point. And then you can leave. Why is this important, Zach? Do y'all not know what time it is? Do you not know that there's a war going on in the Middle East that says rapture is soon? Do you not know that the greatest revival that'll ever hit this planet is coming? And who is it coming through? The church. But the church doesn't know what I'm telling you. You must know this. Biden's not running the United States. You are. I'm telling you what, that president. Shut up and speak to it. There's one thing that scares the devil. It's you. When you find out who you are, I will have a wonderful day. Okay. Acts 9:6. I'm going to jump to another one. Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Understand this. There must come into your life a relationship and a fellowship with God. Okay, I got to read another scripture. Pop it on the screen, John 15:19. Pop John 15:19 on the screen. I just want to read it to you. Because we've got to go back here. 15:19. That's it, 5:19. And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do what? Nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. All right, now let me prove it to you before we read my next scripture. Jesus is on his way to Lazarus' house. Lazarus is his best friend. He's going there to raise him from the dead. And Holy Spirit said, no. No. Where, what did he do? He stopped. Why? It wouldn't have done him any good to get there early. If Holy Spirit is not telling you to say something, shut up. Whoa, now, wait a minute. I thought you said we've got dominion. Not outside of God, you don't. The problem with the church, you're trying to operate the word without Father. Come on, y'all. So Jesus is headed to Lazarus' house. Holy Spirit goes, uh-uh. And Lazarus is not dead yet. I mean, this would like be the best time to go.
Yes.
Holy Spirit went, uh-uh. Yeah. And so Jesus, right outside of town, parks it in someone's living room. Yeah. And his buddy is dying down the road. The next morning he wakes up and goes, today? And he goes, uh-uh. 3 days, he's already, they embalmed him, they entombed him, they stuck him behind a rock. I mean, if you're going to raise him from the dead, it really would be a whole lot easier if you just didn't have all these problems. But see how you think?
Yeah. Yes, come on.
Well, Pastor, I just have a question for you. I tried that. Uh-oh. Well, quit trying it and do it. So finally, at the end of 3 days, Holy Spirit goes, go now. And Jesus walks up, Mary's going, if you'd have been here, if you'd have been, he said, and I want him to, he wants to go. If I had been here early, it would not have mattered. I do nothing, but I see my Father do. And when God said go, he went. And he walks outside the tomb. You know the story. Lazarus come forth. And Lazarus didn't walk out. He's got sheets around his feet. He floated out. Lazarus! It's a good thing he called him by name. Every dead person that ever died would have gotten up. Come out! Get the grave clothes off of him. Turn him loose. Let's go have breakfast. All right, I'm going to tell you a story. Y'all are interested now. Y'all actually hang on. Like, my God. Years ago, and I know Barbara will remember this. Who was it? Mary Friend's prayer lady. Karen Mosley. Karen Mosley calls me on the phone and said, what are you doing about them hurricanes? And I went, nothing. Call me about a hurricane. I ain't got nothing to do with no hurricane. And then my mother calls me. What are you doing about them hurricanes? I go, why is everybody calling me to do something about it? They said, well, you live in Florida and that's your area. And I went, you know, it just aggravated me to no end for people to call me up and blame me for a hurricane headed to West Palm Beach. And I mean, I'm aggravated. I'm like, I'm coming around the road. I'm up here on Welch. And I can remember when I came around a corner and I said, I got off the phone. By now, my mother is on to me to do something about the stupid hurricane. And I said, Father, you know people will die. And he said, tell it to slow down. He didn't let me stop it. Therefore, I couldn't. Are y'all listening or y'all go home? I'm not in control of hurricanes, but Father said, you tell it to slow down. Compassion moved him. But he didn't stop it by himself either. He's not a son. He doesn't have dominion. I do. my walk with God. Are y'all out there? Did you go home? And I said, and I called it by its name. I don't remember the name of the dumb hurricane right now. It was a category 4 or 5 headed to West Palm Beach. Supposed to be here in a few hours. I said, blah, blah, blah. Slow down in Jesus' name. And I mean, I'm listening to Z88. And the girl on Z88 went, oh, my God. It just went to a category 2 hurricane instantly. And it just slowed up. And we don't know what happened. There's a sovereign God. And a preacher in a popka. And it went, whoa, and slowed up. And I'm like, Shandai, that's some praying, buddy. And I remember Barbara was in here, and I walked in, and I said something about the hurricane. And Z88 was freaking out. And it sat out there for a day and came in. And I want to tell you all this because I was in the presence of God. For some reason, he didn't want it to not come in. But he allowed me to speak to it so people would live that needed time to get out. Now, what am I trying to tell you? That is God and the church working together. Okay. Are y'all hearing me? This is the reason why go to Acts 10. This is the reason why last week when I was talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, listen to me. Because you'll be praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden you'll have words. And you know they're not coming out of your mind. You're interpreting your tongues. I was praying over a person the other day. Lisa knows who I'm talking about. And their mind hadn't been right. And I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden I went, you have the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that that young man will turn. Amen. Are y'all out there? You're going, do you understand? This, I'm trying my best to teach you something. You won't get anywhere. I'm going to brag on myself. You ain't getting this anywhere else. But see, you're running around trying to make stuff happen. Now, if he says, by his stripes you're healed, you can use the word already spoken to you. That's fine. When the Lord spoke to me and he made a statement to me, he said, I walked on this property. Betty May had already prayed out in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, I have hidden you a piece of property on a hill. And immediately in the prayer meeting, I went, where are you going to find a hill in Florida? I mean, there just ain't no hills anywhere around here. And when I walked on this property, the Holy Spirit said, this is it. Claim it. Now listen to me. I didn't pick the property. God did. But I spoke to it. And then I went back and I said, we're going to need money because we have $2,000 in the bank. And this was $125,000 for this land. But y'all didn't know, we stole this property. It was a horse pasture. Wasn't nothing out here. But it's very important for you to understand, I had to walk on the property he said buy, not the one I decided to buy. And then I went back and began to pray over what he said in the Spirit. And while I'm praying, I had a vision of a dollar bill. Now, y'all leave here today, please don't go out and say, I think he's Fruit Looping. Because the prayer warriors here will tell you this stuff happens in the spirit. There was a dollar bill with a beach towel and a ball in its hand. And I looked at it and I said, I need you to come to me. And the dollar bill said to me, I was going to go to the beach. And I said, well, you're not going to the beach now. You're coming to me. I have need of you in Jesus' name. Now, I don't normally tell people this stuff because you already think I'm crazy anyway. When you find out that I talk to beach balls and dollar bills that are going to the beach, you're pretty sure that I'm losing it. Thank you. The next week, a lady wrote us a check for $20,000. And I took it down to the bank and I called someone and I said, I'm going to the bank. They don't loan raw land. And he said, take Lisa with you. Now, what I'm going to say right now is not to embarrass Lisa, but she walks in the bank and three men are going, oh, and she said, I need money. And they went, whatever you want, baby. And I'm thinking, I mean, that's just the wisdom of God. Take your wife with you. When you want to borrow money, take your wife with you. There's idiots out there to loan your wife anything. It's just, if she's pretty, you know. So I gave them $20,000. They loaned me the other $105,000. And I bought the land about a month after the Lord, after I walked on and claimed it. Are y'all listening? I'm trying to show you something. I told you to go to Acts 10. I'm trying to finish. Trust me. 10. The next day they went on the journey. They drew near the city. Peter went on the housetop to pray. Go all the way down. Verse 19, as Peter thought about these things, the Spirit said, behold, men are seeking you. Arise and go with them. Holy Spirit said. As Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to the people, went on to court, gave heed to things. And the Holy Spirit told him, says, go join yourself to that chariot. Yeah. All right, I got one more. Sixteen six. Now when they had gone through Phygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden. Look at it with me, please. Look at this. They were what? We're going to go preach them. No. No. Don't. Well, wait a minute. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Holy Spirit said, not there. Who's running the church? Holy Spirit. Not your Bible. Your Bible, yeah. Going to all the world is a commandment for the whole church. And they heard the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Go to the next one. And they came to Mysia, and they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit said, no, don't go over there. See, some of y'all are doing things and saying, God, help me. And then you're coming back to me going, why didn't that work? So passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia stood and played with it and said, come to Macedonia and help us. And afterward, they'd seen the vision. Immediately, they sought to go to Macedonia, including the Lord. Listen to me. Can I tell you one more story? If I keep you 10 more minutes, 5 more minutes, 5 more minutes. I've always wanted to be an evangelist and I did not want to do this job. I didn't want to do it. So I've always left and gone other places, even when I was your pastor, because I didn't like being here either. Don't tell me you've had no trouble with your flesh. And I went to Cuba and preaching the gospel. And when I got back to Quetzaltenango, Guatemala, the Lord said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, that's about a dumb question. What do you mean, what am I doing here? I said, I'm preaching the gospel. You said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, I didn't tell you to come here, go home. Shandai. Here's my point. You're a son of God. I can do all things through Christ. You take through Christ off of it, stop. You cannot do all things. We must get back to seeking God about where to go and what to do, what's he saying to you. I don't know. We'll go find out. Amen. This was a good sermon. Yes, you have the name. Yes, you have the anointing. Yes, you're a son of God. You're not operating in this earth apart from your fellowship with God. Can I tell you one more story? I lied. I'm in the Bahamas. That one night they brought a boy to me that had drowned. He's about that tall, little black boy, little skinny little kid. And he walks up to me and they had dug him off the bottom of the ocean that day. He had been down diving and they didn't get him to the surface in time. And they drowned. They brought him up and they resuscitated him. And I looked at him and he said, I said, who are you? I drowned. And my heart just broke. He said, whoa, will you play for me? Half his body's paralyzed. I said, are you born again?
I don't see that.
I prayed for him to be saved, prayed for him to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and I laid hands on him and took authority over it. Shh, y'all. 2 years later, I walked back on Harbor Island. This kid walks up to me, he's about 6'2". You remember me? He said, I don't think so. You remember the boy that drowned? Yeah. I began to recover. After that day, glory to God. Glory to God. The world is waiting on you. I'm trying to get you out of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're sitting around waiting on God. You're working with God. But not apart from him. Say,
I am a son of God.
I am here for a purpose. And I will fulfill it. Now, without you spending time with Father, you will not. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Father God, thank you for this morning. I got up here with everything in my heart to do everything in my ability to teach them the things that you've taught me for over 40 years. I've seen you do things. When the man in India died sitting next to me, you told me to hit him. I didn't want to hit him. He was dead. But a crowd was gathering, and I punched him, commanded him to come back, and he did. And I remember when Nancy, my sister, died, you told me to pray in the spirit until she came up out of hell and came back. There's been so many things that have happened in my life because of my walk with you, and my heart's desire is everybody in this room would have such an intense desire to walk with you. Father, I watched Justin and Megan with the kids at school. It's obvious that you're on that. Holy Spirit is so strong there that kids are hungry for Bibles. But thank you that Justin and Megan are going and showing up. We live in the last days, Father. I believe the greatest revival in the earth is ahead. And I believe that you'll use the church. I believe you'll use people that are sitting in this room right here. I think the greatest move of God is ahead of us. And I'm going to ask you to use the people that are here. And we'll walk out here today and say, amen. I pray that we would begin to draw near you, spend the time we need to praying in the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with our relationship, and come back to the place that Adam lost, walking with you. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.